Welcome to the podcast. I'm Richard McLean.
I'm Adam Cloud.
And this is Please Leave a Message. PleaseLeaveAMessage.simplecast.fm. There's PleaseLeaveMessage.com out there right now, but I don't have access to the URL currently. Jess has that, and he's supposed to be transferring to me, and when we get that, we'll get the website back to where it's supposed to be. But for the time being, you can get us at PleaseLeaveAMessage.simplecast.fm. And remember, we're also on iTunes and also available at TunedIn. And you can also listen to us on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock on www.freeradioprovo.tk. Right now, we're asking people to call in their gaming stories. We want 3 to 5 minute gaming stories, something funny, something crazy that happened. But keep it short, because we know how gaming stories can sometimes go on and on and on. Nobody wants to listen to that. So keep it short, but please call in. Our phone number is 801-SKETCH-1, which is 801-753-8241. What's going on with you, Adam?
Well, I've been busy working as of late. We've been, for the past year and a half, I've been kind of pulling double duty at work, and we've been working towards a deadline, which is coming up this April, and we're behind schedule. So
oh, boy.
I'm putting in extra time to bring us back current, and so it's just been work at work, drive home, work at home, and feeling a little sequestered at time, and so I take breaks like this.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. You code, right?
I do.
Okay. What kind of coding do you do?
My primary language is C#. I started with business automation, but what I work on at work is the entire system that our marketers use, that our customers use.
Do you do any kind of web coding as well?
I'm not a designer. I do front-end coding as well as the back-end. The processes that run behind the scenes.
Okay.
Mobile development for Windows Phone, iOS, and Android.
Okay.
And also do database coding. So
okay.
Right now I'm actually focusing more on the back end. My role on this team is the architect. So
okay. I'm a very weak coder. I do it, but I'm slow. Right now I'm in a class. I'm taking a gaming audio class. And so we're using the Unity game engine. Okay. And so I've been using C#.
And how do you like it?
I like it better now than the last Unity class I took. I was banging my head against the wall in that class. Then I took a C++ class, which I nearly failed. I hate C++.
Me too.
But I think part of it was the teacher. There was a bit of a language barrier there. Mm. He had a weird kind of a teaching style that didn't really jive with me. And he kind of taught the class assuming that you kind of already knew what you were doing, which I always struggle with. But I didn't fail. I just came really, really close. But I found that now that I'm in Unity messing with C# again, some of the coding principles are actually starting to click that I didn't get before. So I'm not banging my head against the wall so much using C#.
That's good news.
Because the thing I don't like in Unity is when you run into a problem and you're like asking questions on the forums or just looking at other people's questions, the way that they get answered, and I'm sure this is true of just about any coding, they just assume you know stuff that you don't know. You're asking in the first place because you don't know.
Right.
And there's like zero patience if you don't understand some principle.
Well, so I feel like it's because people would like to be the source of the answer, but they don't want to spend the time to make sure that you're educated about it. So.
Right. The biggest problem I found in the past was when I had code that was like in two different files and I had to reference the code from one file to another and just figuring out how to do that in the code properly. So it says, this isn't outside your scope. And the other thing is when you're referring to objects that are in the game engine, sometimes they're really not clear on how to call that particular name.
Yeah.
Of the object, but it's starting to click.
That's good news.
And so I'm starting to have a little more fun than I was before.
When I first started learning to do Unity, I was following some online tutorial, mm-hmm. and I also experienced banging my head against a wall, but one time I was in Vegas for a Microsoft conference. It was actually Visual Studio Live, and they had a class on the last day. I saw that there was a gaming class. I'm like, well, I'm here anyways. I've done everything else for my company. So today I'm going to take a day for me. And I sat there and it was from 9 in the morning until like 5 at night. And it was just like, we took breaks, but from start to finish, walking us through creating a Unity game, getting used to all the different visual effects you could do, having it so that you could collisions, having objects follow one another, spawning stuff, and it was really fun. And so,
which game did you build? I'm wondering if it's one they have on the site as a tutorial right now.
I don't know that it was named. We were just he was just freeballing it.
Oh, okay. Because there's a shooter game where you're like a little teddy bear fighting other stuffed animals.
Okay, we did do a two-dimensional one, and it was a vampire game.
Okay, there's a tank one. That's the one we just did in class.
That's fun. They're
just two little tanks that shoot back and forth at each other. The funny thing is I do not see myself as a very good coder at all. I struggle with it every time I have to do it, even though I'm getting better, but I still struggle a lot. But compared to all the other people in class, like, they look to me as the guy that knows everything, which is, I don't know anything.
Would you consider yourself a passionate person?
I would consider myself a passionate person.
It's my experience, having been in the field for so long, that there's a lot of people in the field that fake it, and they fake it just enough to make it. And those that are successful, even like longevity in the field, are people who are passionate, because they're doing it for other motives. They're doing it because, not because of the money, but because they want to learn, because they're excited about what they're doing. And I know for me, I actually failed my classes in college. I don't have a degree. I do this for a living. I am chief technology officer and software architect at my company. And it's simply off of my merits, from my results, from projects I've done, word of mouth. But my story wasn't that I necessarily was struggling with the code. It was, I made the mistake of challenging the teacher on something she was teaching. And I was just inquiring. I was like, so the book says this, but you're saying this, which is it? But everybody else that was in the class, which is a pretty big class, was like, yeah, yeah. And they're all raising their hand, and suddenly it's us versus her.
Right.
So she had it in me for the rest of the year, and I had her for two computer classes. And she found every opportunity she could to dock me points if I used a term that we hadn't covered yet. And so, like, it was really rigid. And by the end of those two semesters, I'm just like, you know what? This isn't for me. I already know what I know. I don't need some paper that says that somebody else knows that I know what I know.
Right.
So
I struggle with teachers like that. I actually got kicked out of one class in college because it wasn't my fault. I got caught in the middle of something, and I apologized, and she just didn't accept that and kicked me out of class and said, if you have a problem with it, go to the administration, which I did. And they said, we're sorry, there's nothing we can do about it, it's her class. So that was typography, of all things.
Very controversial topic.
Oh, I know. We had to do a form letter, like, for a business, a cake decorating business. And part of the assignment was having different people fill it out to see how well it flowed, to see if it was confusing. So I gave it to one of my buddies in class. He filled it out with all this nasty stuff about the teacher. Like, under how to deliver the cake, he said, in her face. And just what to write on the cake, he wrote something kind of nasty about her. Fine. I thought I threw the thing away. Apparently I turned it in. So it was like, sayonara.
I can see why you say that wasn't your fault.
I really thought I tore the thing up and threw it in the trash.
But was your friend accountable?
He apologized too, but she just wouldn't accept anything.
Well, then that baffles me. If he's willing to take, you know, accountability for his part of it, then clearly you were just doing your assignment.
I did exactly what I was asked to do.
To the wrong person.
And I did, exactly. So she just... Speaking of coding problems, my website is still not working.
Oh.
Yes.
What language is it? Because once you're fluent in one language, it's not hard to work in another.
So I use a content management system called Grolix, and it's specifically geared for webcomics. So I've had that installed. It was working great for a year and a half. Part of my problem is that I host from my uncle's server that he runs off of his home computer. He decided to upgrade the operating system, which upgraded the PHP version, and now it's no longer compatible.
Okay.
And the developers of Grolix have said, yeah, we're working on that, but it's been like 4 months now, and I'm getting kind of irritated. So it's some kind of incompatibility between PHP 5 point whatever and PHP 7.
So is he on operating system he's on now?
I'm pretty sure he's running Ubuntu.
Okay.
If I was paying a monthly fee to some place, they'd have it fixed. But I'm not. I'm just running it free off my uncle's server. I'm not willing to pay for it month to month right now, because I'm not generating any money off of it. Let's do a song. So last episode, I went on and on and on about Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds again.
I remember that.
I'm very passionate about that piece of music. I love it, I love it, I love it. And because of that, when I was posting the stuff for the podcast, I went to the website just to make sure I had some of my information straight. And I noticed that they had a new CD from Jeff Wayne. So apparently in 1969, he had just graduated from college, and his father was a theater manager, and he wrote this show called Two Cities. It's a musical, and it's about Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities as a musical. So they booked the theater, and they had a rough first week. So not very many people came to the show. Of those that did, they had a few critics that were not too kind. And so after the first week, the theater already had nixed them. They're like, okay, once your run is done, you're done. You're not coming back. We need to get another show in that's more profitable.
That's unfortunate.
Right after that, the show started getting rave reviews. They were nominated for Best Musical, and they won Best Male Performance for a Musical that year. But they still got the axe.
Bureaucracy.
So this is a CD of the music from the original cast. I was under the impression that it didn't come out on vinyl back in 1969, but I did some more research today and I found that there is a vinyl LP from 1969. I also find it's extremely difficult to find. So this is track number 8, The Machine of Dr. Guillotine.
I love that name.
Look at that machine, painting nice and clean. Look at how it shines.
See the way it's built, straight without a tilt. See the new design.
What a lovely sight, even glows at night. What a pretty toy.
Come and see it work.
Doesn't even jerk.
Come and share our joy, the machine of Dr. Guillotine. What a lovely, lovely
children and adults,
being an active queen.
See the basket there, fill it up with air, curly or straight. Who will be the first, last, it's always worth.
Who will illustrate
the machine of Dr. Guillotine? What a lovely, lovely thing. Isn't it a tasty dish to set before?
Favorite lyric is that it works on children and adults, and it's even good for our queen. Something to that effect.
Something I love about musicals is it just always makes you want to get up and dance.
I know, right?
But like awkwardly and like flailing your arms from left to right.
I thought that one cracked me up. There's others that are funny. So this one, so the original LP only had like these 15 tracks, the first 15. These bonus ones have never been available before. They're the demos. And so a lot of these actually got cut from the musical.
So they're not actually even in the play.
Right. This first one, The Wine That Flows in the Street, it's all about the blood from the guillotine. It's quite the... I'm not even really super familiar with the Tale of Two Cities story. We were supposed to read it in junior high. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get past the first page. I fell asleep every time. Every single time. but we were supposed to take, like, we spent a whole semester on it in English class. And we had a big essay test at the end of the semester. And I was struggling. I could not get through the book. And the teacher at least gave us notes and kind of reviewed it. So I took copious notes. And I got a copy of the book at the library. And I went through it and I highlighted in the library copy. I highlighted all the, like, really important quotes, and I don't even know how I tracked down the pages they were on. I don't remember, but I somehow was able to find the important quotes, and I got the highest score of anybody on that test.
See, it's not so much about the information you know, it's about knowing how to outperform the process.
Right. I don't think she gives the test in that manner anymore, but yeah, she gave that test for years, and I held the record for a number of years.
Nice.
Even though I didn't read it.
Yeah, I'm actually unfamiliar with that particular one as well. I love musicals, but I'm very uncultured in that I don't know many of them. And so then I'll have somebody come, some new come into my space, and they'll, have you ever seen this? No. So we go see it, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I just want to go see them all the time. I just don't make time for it.
Yeah, I like musicals, and I really like that they've come back to cinema. Like, for years, they didn't do them. And then, I don't know, like Moulin Rouge came out.
That's my favorite movie.
I love that movie.
It's actually a movie that I use as a test, as a barometer for girls that might potentially be, dating material. Because it's my experience that they either love it or they hate it.
Okay.
And if they hate it, it's either because they hate love or they're bitter about something or because they don't make it past the first scene because it's so risque, okay. So raunchy, you know, or at least in their judgment, it's raunchy. Right, and so right. They don't make it far enough to get to the good stuff.
Okay. I can see that.
I was actually in show choir in high school, in junior high, when I see musicals and they're like just dancing and singing, I'm just like wanting to join in.
I was in madrigals in high school. Mm. I didn't try out for madrigals. I tried out for show choir. I didn't want to sing the stuffy music. I wanted to sing the fun stuff. Buddy put me in madrigals over show choir for some reason. But because we always performed together, mm-hmm. I always hung out with the show choir people.
I wish I did more plays. Early on in elementary school and in junior high, I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And then, actually, I'm not clear about what the other play was. But I was in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But yeah, I wish I did more of those.
I was a chicken to try out. I just, something about trying out turned me off.
I don't need to prove myself, says Richard.
I don't know that it was that so much. Just, I don't know, something about tryouts just freaked me out. And so I never tried out for anything, but I always ended up being involved somehow. Like the musical my senior year, I built the sets. I was the art director.
That doesn't surprise me.
I didn't necessarily want to do that. I did it first, but then when I realized that, oh, I'm just building the sets that somebody else designed, I don't get any input in that, then I wasn't as thrilled about it. And then I broke my arm. So I thought, okay, I'm out of this because I can't even paint. And 6 weeks later, I'm like, all right, my arm's better. What do you want me to do? Oh, we haven't done anything for 6 weeks. All right.
I just got anxiety right there for you.
Hey, tomorrow's my wedding anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary.
14 years.
Wow, that's a good amount of time.
It is.
Happy 14 years.
It's been a good 14 years. So we've never followed that, this gift this year, this gift this year, this thing. But I've always looked at it. I look at it every year and I'm like, whatever.
Nah.
So this year it's supposed to be gold jewelry. We are not in a financial situation to be running out and buying gold jewelry. I came up with something, but I'm not going to spill the beans. Although this won't air till after that, so.
But she's right out there. Hey, stop listening.
No, she colors in these coloring books at church. And so I got, she's got a pencil sharpener, but it doesn't have a thing to catch the shavings. So I got her a nice pencil sharpener and I got her some metallic pencils. So there's gold and silver and copper.
She does like shiny things.
Yes, she does. But she's not big into gold, which I kind of appreciate.
That is good news for 14 years.
It is.
All right, Jordan, thanks for coming down to the
Jordan Clark.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Richard.
We call this portion of the podcast I Tick. We ask everyone the same questions, and we're just trying to figure out what makes a person tick.
I like that, because I guess everybody does have something that makes them tick.
All right. First, tell us your name and what you do.
All right. Well, my name is Jordan Clark. I am a music producer and a songwriter and a musician and audio engineer as well. So I work in the music field and however I can make a living doing that, you know, every day. Yeah. Sometimes it's making music for other people, sometimes I'm making music for myself, so.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us your earliest memory.
My very earliest memory.
Yeah.
I remember my parents both used to work, and I think my earliest memory is being picked up by my paternal grandparents at my mom's work, so they could take me and babysit me while my parents had to work that day. My mom worked at LaBelle's. I don't know if you even remember that.
I do.
A jewelry store.
Uh-huh.
I think it later became Fred Meyer Jewelry or something, but she was a jeweler. She worked at LaBelle's, and we were in LaBelle's, and I remember being pushed in the cart, and then I saw my grandparents there in the store, and I was like so stoked. Oh, grandma, grandpa. And then grandpa picked me up out of the shopping cart and we went to their house. I mean, that's about as much as it gets.
Okay. So now tell us a story from your childhood that's had a lot of influence on your life. Something that you've maybe not shared a lot.
Man, there's a few that I've shared that have had huge influences in my life. For instance, maybe I'll tell two.
That's fine.
People would always ask how I got into playing guitar, and I kind of like telling that story. Like, me and my brother would play around on like little instruments that were around the house. We had a piano, we had an acoustic guitar, but we would just kind of goof around on them and not really do anything with it. But one day, as a family, we were watching a family movie, and we were watching Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Nice.
Yep. And at the end of that movie, they play in the Battle of the Bands. I think actually Primus is actually the band that plays right before them. And then on go Wild Stallions, right?
Right.
And they play and they, I guess, spoiler alert, they win the Battle of the Bands, I think. And anyway, when Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure got over, I was just like, Mom and Dad, I want to play guitar. I want electric guitar. And my mom's like, oh, you learn how to play like the normal acoustic guitar first, and then maybe you can have an electric guitar one day. And I was like, I am in. Yes. However I start doing this, I want to learn.
That's
and
awesome.
So, yeah, I did. 9 years old, I started playing acoustic guitar.
So Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is one of my favorite movies of all time.
No way.
It is. I've got it somewhere.
It's awesome. Rufus.
But I loved that movie so much that I would come home from school every day and watch it.
No way.
I did for like months.
Keanu Reeves, man.
I don't know what it was about that movie, but it just really spoke to me.
I hear you. I loved it, even though they sucked at playing guitar in that movie.
What made me want to play was a little different. I was on my mission.
Oh, yeah.
And I was over at a different set of missionaries' apartment. And one of them had a guitar magazine. And when we were just waiting for them to be ready to go wherever we were going, I was just flipping through it and reading some of the articles.
Yeah.
And it was pointing certain things out that I'd never really thought before. And from that point on, I was like really listening to the guitar when I heard music.
That's cool.
And I was just like, oh, that is so, oh, that is so, oh, that is so. But again, I'm not good at picking up instruments. So I do not play. I dink around a little. I have an acoustic electric, and I've tried. I got the Rocksmith game.
Oh, yeah. I would love to play that. Because you actually get to play it on a real guitar.
Right. And so I was doing that, and I was learning a little bit, but it wasn't teaching me the way that I felt like I needed to learn. So I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere.
Yeah.
It was teaching me to plunk out these songs, and I wanted to start by just learning a few chords and to just strum and change chords. That's where I want to start.
Folk guitar style.
Yeah. That's what I want to start with, and then get into the other stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I need to learn the chord stuff first.
Totally. I used to teach guitar lessons for a while.
I want to take guitar lessons because I think
that's how I did it.
The way that I learn, I think an actual lesson from an actual person just suits my learning style better.
Yeah. It's nice to have some criticism and critique.
And guidance.
Guidance.
Yeah. So
they can actually look at you and be like, oh, you're holding your hands the wrong way. Like, try this.
Right. And like, I'm that way with lots of things. Like, I tried to teach myself how to use Maya 3D animation software.
Oh, yeah.
For years, I would pick it up and I would try to figure it out and I would do a few tutorials and I just felt like I was getting nowhere. I didn't learn it till I went back to school after a 10-year hiatus and I was picking up on animation where I left off. The school I went to used Maya.
Mm.
And so I just kind of had to figure it out. So I literally just got thrown into it.
Wow.
But because I had a teacher and students and I had a project that I was trying to do and because I had 10 years experience with another 3D program.
I feel like that's how so many things in life are, though. You learn how to do them by being thrown into it.
Right.
Like, I'm working on doing a remake of a Sia song right now for a client. And for me, it's super interesting just analyzing every single part of the song and realizing, you know, oh, why did they use a kick drum that sounds like that with a snare that sounds like that? And you can analyze, oh, like, they match really well together and right. It gives the song this kind of feel. But you'd never learn that stuff until you just jump in and start having to solve the problems yourself.
Right. Share with us a piece of music that's been highly influential in your life.
I can't think of like a single piece, but there were probably three bands or four bands that influenced me a whole lot growing up. I would say that some of my most early influence, and this is, I mean, like I started playing folk guitar when I was 9, but that wasn't really like, that did influence me, but I wasn't necessarily super passionate about folk guitar. It was like great to be able to learn chords and stuff. When I finally got passionate about music was in the late 90s, and I really fell in love with Nirvana and loved like learning some of the songs, and I'd play some of those on the guitar. I loved like the attitude, and I loved like the terrible singing that was like awesome, the screaming, all that. And then I finally started like learning a lot of songs on the guitar, and that band was The Offspring. I started learning a lot of stuff by The Offspring and learned like punk songs by other bands. And that was some good formative years, but I think when I really started to develop a style with the guitar and really get into some of the other cool things that it can do was when I found the band Incubus, and their guitar player, Mike Einziger, is fantastic. Like a whole lot of jazz influence in his playing, and super creative, like super technical guy. And he also used a lot of guitar effects pedals. And for me, that was like kind of a game changer. When I realized that you could use some sort of like other electronic, like a pedal, a guitar pedal, to change the way your guitar sounds, that changed my world.
It brought the techie
totally
element into it.
All of a sudden, it wasn't just like your guitar and your amp and like some distortion, but like you could have delays and like weird phasey sounds and like chorusy and tremolo and like weird computery sounds. And he was doing all of it with his guitar and with some of these pedals. And I would listen to music as I'd like drive around or hanging out with friends or whatever. And when we'd listen to Incubus, like I would just sit there and analyze like, how is he getting his guitar to make a sound like that? And then when I'd finally get a chance to play with the pedals, like I'd experiment with them and learn some Incubus songs, you know, and try to make my guitar sound exactly like Mike Einziger's. And I guess kind of back to what we were talking about a second ago with like problem solving, like you gotta like be thrown into something and then be like, okay, deconstruct this. How do you make this thing work? Like, how do you make this thing do what you need to make it do? And so for me, guitar pedals was that. And I think that probably lent itself pretty well to me going and eventually becoming an audio engineer, where it's like, I don't have just have a guitar. Now I have microphones and synthesizers and all sorts of stuff that I can create certain sounds, whatever it is that we're imagining or trying to recreate.
I love the studio side of music so much.
Me too. I do thrive in the studio. I love it. Yeah. I'll get lost. That's my favorite, to just get lost in the studio and creating something.
Now share with us another piece of media that's been highly influential in your life. And this can be anything. It can be another song. It can be a movie, cartoon, comic book, painting, game show, radio show, whatever. Musical, play.
Something that's been influential in my life.
Yeah, something that's been influential to you.
Like, I care about politics, but I don't get super involved in some of the like the political campaigns like that, but I do care a lot about the way that our country is going, right, and the state of the police state and to what degree of a police state we live in.
Right.
I think I was super influenced by George Orwell's 1984. That's one of my favorite books.
I love that.
Oh, so good. I think besides the fact that that man was a genius and really understood a lot about what was going on with the world and his country at his time of living, I think that book is cool because it's so timeless. Like, he wrote it in 1948, and yet it's like coming true right now. And so I think about that a lot, and I think it used to play into my music a little, and I used to try to write some political stuff, and for the most part, I stay away from that these days, but it always does. It's a huge part of my personality, and there's a little bit of a side of me that's kind of controversial and likes to get people a little riled up, like, right, just a little bit. Like, I guess I'm like a little punk rock in that way.
Right.
I definitely have this side of me that feels like I need to defend myself against Big Brother.
Right.
You know, or against a police state mentality. And so a lot of the conversations that I have with people whenever I'm on a political or, you know, kick kind of like that usually reverts back to something having to do with 1984. Anyway, that's pretty big part of my life.
I don't reread books.
Oh, no.
I don't. Once I've read a book, I rarely pick it up again. I've read 1984 three times.
Yes. Okay. I'm the same way. I don't reread books, but I've reread that book.
And there's a reason I don't reread books. The reason I don't reread books is because typically when I'm reading it, I remember everything a page before it happens. Literally as soon as I finish reading a book, I forget all the little details.
Yeah.
I just remember the feeling and the general overall story.
Mm-hmm.
But like all the little details and minutiae, that just literally goes out of my head the second I finish the book. But when I'm rereading it, I will remember every little stinking little detail a page before it happens.
Yeah, so it's no fun.
And it's just no fun. But I have read 1984 multiple times because it is so relevant.
It's like prophetic. Reading's good. I don't do enough of it.
I don't either.
But I do enjoy it. There's been some pretty intense parts of my life where I was reading a book at an intense part of my life. And it's weird how you throw, like I would, at least me, I throw a lot of that emotion into that book. I read this book called The Kite Runner.
Okay, I've heard of it.
I think they ended up making a movie about it.
Yeah, I think so.
I never saw the movie, but the book was, it's a pretty intense book. And I was going through a very intense relationship and like just breaking up with my girlfriend at the time, and I remember reading that one, and my life was like nothing compared to this guy who has having all these hardships, but I would take all my emotions and inject them into that story.
Yeah, a little perspective and some amped emotion.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting. Jordan, tell us about your passion and why you do it.
So I recently left the band that I was playing in for 5 years. In that band, my main purpose was as a songwriter. I did a lot of the songwriting for the group. And when I left, I wasn't playing with those dudes anymore. And this is kind of a recent thing, so I guess I still am struggling with it. But it was like I was trying to find my passion and find my purpose, because I'd been doing it with these dudes for 5 years, and then suddenly not doing it anymore. I like had to wonder if music really was my passion. And I'd wake up in the morning and think like, oh, I just want to be done. Like maybe I'll go build furniture or something like that. You know, I don't know the first thing about it, but go learn something new, like maybe make that my passion. But that didn't last too long. I just continue to write songs and continue to make music, and it's not like I do it every single day or that I just every day I have to be making music necessarily, even though that is something that I usually do. But for me, it's almost like I can't not do it. I can't not make music, because if I stop, then there's part of my soul that just hurts. I remember I used to go, even before I joined that band, I've had a lot of projects over the years. One time I had a solo project where I was the front man. And before that, I would go to shows and I'd go see other bands play. And when I'd see them up there on stage, I'd just be like so impressed. And I loved what they were doing. But it would just kill me inside, because I'd look at them and I'd say, I can do that. Like, not only can I do that, I do that. And I love to do it. So why am I not doing it right now? And so I think that's part of it too. Like, when I see other people doing it, and it creates those feelings in me like that I have to go create now too. And I'm always so inspired. Like if I hear a great song, or I hear a great voice or a great guitar lick or something like that, like that'll inspire me. And now like I have to go make a great guitar lick. Like I want to go learn that one maybe, or maybe I want to go make one up that's better. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's like this progression, all of that stuff combined. I think for me, the passion these days comes with, I just want to be better at it all the time. And so I'll write a song, and maybe it's a great song and maybe it's not, but let's say it's a great song. As soon as I write a great song, I just want to write one that's better. It's right. Like, that's great. Cool. But that was 10 minutes ago. Like, now let's write the best song that's ever been written. And so maybe one day I'll do it. Maybe one day I'll write the best song that's ever been written. And if not, I guess it doesn't matter, because I'm not going to stop writing songs. And I'm not going to stop making music and writing lyrics. You know, I like to wear my heart on my sleeve in a way. And I like people to know in what ways I'm a human, and the things that trouble me are the things that please me. And I think people can relate to all that. And so I just keep making it, and people sometimes keep listening to it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I guess that's why I do it.
Just when you do write the greatest song in the world, make sure you remember it.
I don't want to forget that one. Maybe I'll just write a tribute at that point. Maybe. A tribute to the best song in the
world. Right, right. Yeah, I feel you, because I want to make music, but I don't. I can feel it, but I can't get it out. But I do draw.
Yeah, you do.
So I understand that. I don't want to draw. I have to draw. And I had a guest on a while ago for an interview, a friend of mine, and he had come to this realization about his art. And when he was saying it, I'm just like, that's me. So he was talking about how he works in an art studio. They do children's games, and he does concept art for them. Mm-hmm. And he's like surrounded by these just amazing artists. And he just looks at their stuff, and he's like, oh, how did you do that? But he came to a realization that with his art, he's not always trying to become a better draftsman. He's not trying to become better at that. His focus is more, he wants to tell stories, and he does the art to tell the stories. And so he's not always, like when he's talking to these guys, they're always like trying to come up with a new technique or trying to improve the art itself. And he's like, I've never felt that. And when he said that, I'm like, that's me. Mm-hmm. I've never felt that. I'm not a great artist. I'm an okay cartoonist, and I'm better now than I was before because I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like I'm constantly trying to get that new, greater technique. But I do like to tell stories. I like to do comics. And so that's, and when he said that, it was just like, it was revelatory to hear another artist say something like that, because I felt like I was kind of an island when it came to that. I go to these Friday draw at the mall activities. A bunch of local artists go to the local mall on Fridays for like 3 hours in the food court and just sit together and draw together and shoot the bull. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. But I have noticed being around them that it's the same thing. They're constantly pushing the technique, and I never felt that. But I have to draw. I have to draw.
You get something else out of it. Yeah. You focus on a different element.
I get something out of it, but it's not that I'm constantly trying to improve the art itself. That comes naturally. So
I think that's kind of a similar thing with me as far as guitar playing goes. Like, I'm a guitar player. I've been playing since I was 9, but I've always used guitar as more of a way for me to tell a story. And whereas a lot of guitar players, some of the people that I look up to, some of the people that I've played with and had the opportunity to jam with, are these proficient guitar players who are very skilled in technique and graduate from Berkeley or, you know, whatever it is. Like,
right.
And they are so concerned with the craft, and their tone is perfect and their note choice is perfect. And I think that's amazing. I love it. And I wish I could do that better. But for me, I can sit down and I can take chords and I can put them together and I can arrange them in a way that creates an emotion. And then I like to put those lyrics on top of it and tell the story.
Yeah.
And then I'll let those amazing guitar players figure out how to make that story come across with the right tone.
Right.
And I'll do it a little bit too, but just not as good as them.
Right. No, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah, it's cool. Art is, if anything, creative. There's just so many levels on which you can do it. Just like you like music for, you know, on a different level than I like music.
Right.
I'm going to create music on a different level than you're going to create it. And you're going to create art on a different level than I'll create it.
Yeah, but that desire and need is there.
Yeah, almost like a curse is kind of what
And like, sometimes I get in these funks and I realize it's because I haven't been doing my art.
Yeah. And if you don't do it, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I would assume like if I don't write a song for a while, then the next time I go to write a song, the first one's going to suck.
Yeah, you're rusty.
And the second one's not going to be too great either. But maybe by the third one, like finally, I'm starting to kind of get it back.
Back in the groove.
I think some of that frustration is, you'll get frustrated that you see somebody else doing something and then you go to try to do it, but it's been a while.
Right.
And so you do something and it kind of sucks. And you're like, oh, I'm the worst. I can't do this like this guy. But you can. You just got to push through it. Like, do it again. Yeah. Write another song. Do another drawing.
I struggle with figure drawing.
Oh, yeah.
Just like
the proportions and
it's just, all of it. It beats me down. And I can get pretty good when I'm doing it all day and doing the life studies and whatnot. But if I'm away for even just a little bit amount of time, it's like, did I ever know how to do this? You know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I stick with cartooning, because I don't have to be as accurate. You do have to be accurate.
Totally.
You know, cartoonists have to know that stuff. But
you can exaggerate.
Because things. I am exaggerating, sometimes that mistake, I'm like, yeah, that's just an exaggeration. It's not a mistake.
That's what I love about cartoons. Cartoons just exaggerate all the funny things about characters. It's perfect.
Yeah. All right, Jordan, what makes you tick?
Whew! Is it these days or is it the same thing always? That was a question for me, and I think I can answer it. I think that for me, passion drives what I do. I've always been like a project guy. I always want to be working on a project and like have something that I'm pushing and taking to the next level. And so those things make me tick. Whether it's a band that I'm trying to get to the next level, or it's trying to produce a record and make it the best sounding record that I've ever produced, or I'm engineering, or I'm mixing, or I'm writing a song, or I'm being a husband, or I'm being an adventurer or a world traveler or an outdoor explorer, whatever. I think it's the adventure and then the project, like trying to push it and see what we can accomplish or what we can create.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, so if people want to hear what you've worked on or want to contact you, want to hire you, how can they get in touch with you?
The name of my website is echoaudioaudio.com.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a little tongue-in-cheek.
I like it.
I thought it was clever. I'm sure be releasing some music of my own under a solo name. I'm not sure if that'll be under my name, Jordan Clark, or if it'll be under a different moniker or not. But, you know, Facebook, we can be friends, or Instagram or whatever. Giordaggio. That's my handle on most things. So Instagram is Giordaggio. So that's that. You know, I don't know where my music will be popping up. And I've been doing a lot of writing with other people. So
have you recorded anything recently?
Let's see. Recently, as far as my own music, I have been doing some recording and I have been producing some of my own tunes, but those have been hanging out on my computer at the moment. I'm still kind of developing the style.
One you would like to share with the podcast?
You know, if I had a guitar, I might be willing to play a little tune.
I've got a guitar.
We could probably share a new tune that I've been working on.
All right, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Poison dart, broken heart, losing pressure, signals danger, I'm falling apart. Lose my head in the red. Friends can tell I'm in need of help, but I'm already dead. I need a remedy before I'm just a memory. Oh my God, I never saw this coming. Pray for me, pray for my soul. Pull me close, pull me close, pull me close, pull me close, hold me. Pray for my soul. Pull me close, hold me close, pull me close, hold me.
Not perfect, right? There's probably a second verse in there, too, somewhere. Well, whatever. I mean, that's the basics, right?
That's awesome.
Good enough.
Thank you.
All right. It's still a work in progress. It's coming.
Of course. Of course.
But there's the first taste, I suppose.
But we're all about finding new stuff here, so.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Well, I'll have to remember more of it later. Yeah, Richard, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. It's been real fun.
It was a pleasure.
All right.
Jordan, as a musician, I asked him to give us a little song on the show. I know sometimes do you compose and stuff?
I do.
So, do you do that a lot?
It's been about a year and a half until just this past month and a half.
Okay.
One of the things that I committed to myself at the beginning of the year is that I've been putting a lot of focus towards my work because I committed to a few things, but it's time I give some focus back to my music because I miss it. And so like this past 2 weeks has been amazing. I've been making new friendships where they're musically inclined, and so we've been getting together and I'll be playing one of my songs on the piano or on the guitar, and they'll grab whatever instrument they can, and if they don't have an instrument, they're like taking off their shoes and like banging on things. And I remember we were in some place and they had a stage and there was like it was a blast.
That's cool. I really enjoy music, and I've been in choirs. I can sing. I can feel it. I feel like there's just music inside me, and I don't know how to get it out. So I have a guitar in the other room. I've been trying to learn, but I talked about this with Jordan, how I struggle with it. I need a little more. I don't know. Some people seem to be able to pick it up. They play with other people. They figure it out. And I don't know. I feel like I need more direction than that.
Well, I'm the kind of guy who I don't actually know the notes that I'm hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so my spot that I'm stepping into is being able to play with other people. I've done solo songs all the time, and I'll just be honest, those the songs were more done in this one-on-one setting as a swoon method.
Gotcha. Because
they're all love, like most of them are love songs, you know. And so I want to play with other people. I want to be able to create music with other people. And so I hear that. Like I'm just getting familiar. Like I sat with these guys and they're telling me what notes I'm playing. I'm like, okay, now I know. And so now when they're like, okay, so it's these notes to play this song with us, I'm getting familiar with that.
I understand the structure of music. I took music theory in high school. So I have the basics down. I understand them. I don't have the... My fingers
dexterity.
My fingers just don't, you know. I got Rocksmith, and I could kind of play. There was just one song on there that I liked to play a lot, and I'd read somewhere, okay, if you want to learn to play, pick one song you really like and learn to play it. Don't bounce around from song to song. Just learn to play one thing and learn to play it to the level where you could perform it comfortably, and then the other stuff will just kind of start to come. I'm like. And so I thought, okay, I like that song in the game. I'll just play that one over and over. And I was improving, but like everything, I had hit that plateau, that first one, and I was just stuck there. Mm. I wasn't getting any better. I wasn't getting any worse. Now I'm much worse because I haven't been playing it for... if I tried to play it again now, it would be a joke.
Who knows? For me, I attempted at a few different points in my life to start learning to play an instrument. and it just never took. And then just one day I picked it up, and I was in the zone, so I went with it. And so you never know. You pick it up, and it might be the day.
So my daughter's in a ukulele choir at school, and so I bought her a nice ukulele. I find that that's fun to ding around on.
A lot easier to hold the strings down on.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. I was playing enough that I did have calluses when I was messing around with the Rocksmith stuff, but I don't know.
I play the bass guitar as well, and so those are bigger strings. So if my calluses ever go, I start with the bass and get those calluses built up real big.
Interesting. My dad's a bass player. Mm. He plays upright bass.
That's fun.
And he also plays piano. So I grew up around music. He loves jazz, and he played a lot of jazz music. And so, I don't know, it's in me. I know it's in me.
Most of my music, either lyrics or even tunes for the things that I put on the guitar or piano, I wake up with. Mm. And like, because again, it's in me.
Right.
And it's like coming out in this moment. So I'm like, I go grab my phone. I'm like recording, humming it to my mm-hmm. phone. Or trying to find it on the piano, capture it as soon as possible, because it's just like a dream. After a moment, it's gone.
It's gone, yeah. Would you be willing to play for something if I had a guitar?
Yeah.
Let's do that, because that would be some good found audio.
Okay.
I don't want to be another option to disregard, because I got plans for me and I've got plans for your heart. And I know that you're scared right now of the progression of you and I. Well, you can calm your fears, 'cause I am not that guy, I'm not that guy. We've both been hurt before, and I'm sure I know your pain. Well, I will not be the cause, 'cause I got nothing there to gain. I wanna make you laugh and get wrapped up in the sound as it bounces off the walls. You're the new joy I found, and I wanna keep you here by my side, 'cause I love to feel you near. This feels right. On the floor, and you'll feel your walls come down. You won't feel the need to fight. You embrace the feeling now, 'cause this feels right. This feels right, because you know I'm not that guy. I will never make you cry. This feels right. So I'm curious how that will come out.
Is that good?
Yeah, I think that'll be good.
What I love about podcasts, at least this is what I've experienced from the ones that I listen to like religiously, is that if they have a topic that becomes like this great thing, but it's not necessarily like the format of what the podcast is about, they can just spawn off this other one. Right. So they have a guest on, but now this guest and this person actually do their own podcast. It's always them. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to see that dynamic between the host and whoever they're, you know, mm-hmm. two-manning with.
Yeah, the ones I've been listening to lately, because I kind of ebbs and flows when I have... Sometimes I'm working on stuff at work and I can just listen to them all day. And mm-hmm. other times I'm like when I'm editing video and audio, it's not like I can listen to podcasts at the same time. So it comes and goes. But the ones I've been listening to lately are more story-driven ones.
Mm, like Welcome to Night Vale.
I haven't listened to that one. I've listened to The Black Tapes.
Okay.
And then the spinoff one from that, Tannis. That's that one. And then the same people did another one. And I think it takes place in the same world, but it's not necessarily connected.
That's kind of the same setup that Welcome to Night Vale has, so I'm going to go listen to that.
Okay, yeah. And the third one that they just started, and there's only one episode up so far, is called Rabbits, which when my friend texted me and said, you need to listen to Rabbits podcast, I was like, rabbits, but it's really cool. So,
well, I know that the ones for Welcome to Night Vale are based off of the stories of H.P. Lovecraft.
That's how these ones are too. They're not based off the stories, but they're very Lovecraftian. They would fit nicely into that.
Well, I'm definitely going to listen to this podcast.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, they're really good. The Black Tapes so far is the best one, which was the first one they did.
Do you ever listen to the Two Men podcasts?
No, I haven't heard those.
Do you know who CGP Grey is from YouTube?
No.
Okay. Brady Heron?
No.
Okay. They do, like, Brady Heron does Number Files and... he does a ton of educational channels.
He's okay,
like,
I think I've heard of Number Files.
He has a lot of YouTube channels, but CGP Grey, who also does educational videos, he was a former history teacher. They paired up, and originally it was Brady Heron, who has a background in being a news reporter, and so he's used to asking questions.
Okay.
He was just interviewing CGP, but CGP is just this oddball of, like, so logic-driven that he's almost like a robot, and so it's just so intriguing for Brady, so they end up creating a podcast called Hello Internet. And so,
okay, I think I've heard of that one.
It's really fun. Like, I'll just listen to it and I'll just laugh my butt off all day.
Nice. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And I just want everybody to know, remember, we're at pleaseleaveamessage.simplecast.fm. We're on iTunes. We're on Tuned In. Or you can tune in Tuesday at www.freeradioprovo.tk. And remember to call us with your gaming stories.
I have a gaming story.
Awesome. Call my number.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening. With the song request, and so I just cut that out of Jordan's thing before I sent it to you. I know, I'm a little devious.
Well, it's actually better that way.